People's show coming to you on a day where the group stages ended at the European Championships. And so, Henrik Sedin, we are going to get to the interview in just a moment here. But to give you a little peek behind the curtain, we spoke to Henrik a little bit after the main media conference ended. And as our friend Sat here would know, Sweden was right in the thick of it against Poland as we were talking to Henrik Sedin this morning.
No lie, I was somewhat distracted during the Henrik interview. I listened, but I was watching the Sweden game and I had to mute my mic a couple of times to yell out and scream. So that was my state of mind during that interview. And it's interesting getting Henrik's opinion on it because... let's just say that he was also very interested in the match.
Yeah, so as it was happening, Sweden had just been tied by Poland. And by the end of it, they retook the lead and eventually win Group D. So it is at least a snippet of the conversation with Henrik Sedin, the special advisor to the GM with the Vancouver Canucks. Congrats on the new gig, Henrik.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for making the time today. I know there's a lot to discuss about new roles, but how are you feeling about Sweden at the Euros?
Very, very good. I mean, that doesn't even matter about how the game ends up today, and they're still moving on. So it's they've been playing well, except for maybe the first game against Spain, where they were badly outplayed, but managed to get a point. So it's I think they're a dark horse.
Well, you know, maybe there's another magical run, like the 94 World Cup run in Sweden here.
I mean, 94, I was 14 at the time, and I mean, that's, people still talk about it. It's, I just remember it was a very nice summer, sunny every day, warm, and to be able to watch every game and how well they did, that's, it was a great summer.
Okay, Henrik, you're a super fan, obviously, but how do you organize a press conference for the exact same time that the team is playing? How did that happen?
That's. I think they wanted to check how invested we are in this new job to miss the game for this. But we actually had the game on behind the cameras at the press conference, so that's why you see our eyes moving up and down a little bit.
Analyzing the match as the news conference is going on. That's incredible. Well, Sweden will be off to the knockout phases, and we'll see how they do from there. Henrik Sedin joining us here on the People's Show. I think you know, one of the big questions I've had, because we've had you on in the past, Henrik, and you've talked about wanting to get back into the game and from a hockey operations perspective. But why now with this new role?
Well, I think it's been 3 years now. We've been out of the game, and we've always talked about wanting to come back and help, and because we care about this team and we played it for a long time. So, and we've been very interested in how to build a team and what goes into building a winning team and the piece of puzzle, like how to lay the puzzle, and that's it was good timing, and we got this opportunity, and we just wanted to find a role that wherever we felt we could do a good job, and also not just coming in as a PR move. That was very, very important to us.
Well, it's clearly not a PR move, because anytime you put yourselves in a position to do something new, getting into an executive position, you guys have legacies in Vancouver. You played over 1,000 games here. You have numbers hanging from the rafters. And to some degree, when you take on a role like this, you put that legacy, not the playing legacy on the line, but it's a new challenge. You mentioned how you talked to Trevor, you talked to some other guys, and how hard it was at times to kind of navigate that. How difficult was it to kind of make a decision based on, you know, the pressure of doing this and knowing that it is a big challenge?
Well, if we care about pressure or legacy, it would have been easier for us to not step in. But we've talked before about, like, and there's a playing legacy and there's the stuff you leave behind. But we're rookies at this job. I mean, there's no one can say that we come in and we should be doing a better job or we should be doing this. It's we want to come in and learn and be a part of things, and we'll see where things end up. But just to be part about a team again and working with the players, the coaches, being in Abbotsford and just being around and try to help out where we can. It's something we look forward to.
Well, Henrik, you talked about this obviously not being a PR move, but how do you respond to the idea that this move is about optics and, you know, after what's been a pretty difficult season for this team?
Yeah, well, there's no response. I mean, people, like, that's the same as when we played. Like, people can say what they want, and there's nothing we can do about it. We have to come in and do the best we can. And I mean, we know why we stepped in, and that's all that matters. If people want to talk to on the outside, or and that's a message, I think, to the players as well. And when you play in the Canadian market, there's going to be people are going to say what they think, and people are going to have input on your game. There's going to be stuff in the social media. There's going to be fans talking to you or media saying one thing. But you have to trust in what you're doing and how you think you perform. Now that's all that matters.
You mentioned in the news conference that you're going to be rookies, you and Daniel, and trying to learn as much as you can on the fly here. But what part of this new role really excites you the most? Is it something from a management business perspective? Is it the scouting part of it? What excites you the most?
I think it is. Well, I know it is. It's to build a team, a winning team, and what you need on that team, and also when you put the team together to work with them, and how to create the culture, and how to deal with the pressure in the Canadian market, and how to make that work, because I think that's overlooked sometimes, especially up here in Canada, where the pressure is different from a U.S. market. It's because you get, like I said, you as a player, you get input from and feedback from a lot of different areas. And it's tough sometimes to deal with that and knowing what you need to do to win as a team and not just be happy if you go from a game and you scored a goal or two, because you know that the media is gonna build you up or fans are gonna build you up and social media is gonna go crazy. It's more things than that to create a winning team in the long run, and that's something I think we have a lot of experience in.
Well, yeah, because you saw what it was like to be on a good team in this cap world where everybody decided to maybe take a little bit less. But the reason everybody kind of agreed to be there is because you guys knew you had a chance to win. You saw the ambition from the organization. You fully believe that, okay, we're all doing this together to win a championship. How do you come about bringing that about now with this new group, that you guys create something that wants guys to stay, that makes guys want to stay, makes guys perhaps take a little bit less to win here? Like, what has to happen for that to occur over the next little while?
Oh, like I said, we're new in this role, but I truly believe that's about working together. It's from the top. It's from the owner down, and it ends up in the dressing room where they feel that we're all on the same page, and we're doing this together. And in the end, it comes down to your top players doing the right things day in and day out to create the culture that needs to be here. And from there, you start building, and you start winning, and you start holding each other accountable. And as a player, you feel that I got to do these things, and these things are expected on me. Because otherwise, if your top guys are not doing it, or they see that people further up in the organization is not doing the right things, then it's tough to create that. And so that's going to be exciting to come in as new guys and learn and see what goes on and just day by day see what happens.
Henrik, you've referenced culture a few times here. You ran a locker room as the captain of the team, but there were many leaders on your team. How important is the diversity of thought or having multiple voices, not only on a team, but within an organization in the executive spot as well?
I think it's super important. Like, and we talked about it today in the press conference as well. It's you want to have as many voices as possible, and you're not going to agree on everything, but you have to get that input from different people and good people, and that's and from there you make the decisions, and the decisions are going to be made by the guys that are in the spot, but they need input from from different people, and that's in the dressing room as well. I was proud to be a captain for sure, but it's sometimes being a captain is a little bit overstated and the importance, because we had tons of guys that could step in and give feedback and input, and the biggest thing for us when we played and were on successful teams is it was run by the dressing room. I knew that if I had a bad practice or a game where I turned the puck over so we lost the game, I was going to hear it from guys, and that's the culture that you need to create.
Do you feel like you and Daniel will, you know, help bring a presence to the locker room just being around the organization again?
I don't that's tough to say, but I believe that if you can be around and watch practice and give guys feedback and also down in Abbotsford to have them feel that they're a big part of this franchise up here as well, it might help. But it's going to be exciting for us to see how and follow these young guys and help them get to the next level. I think that's something we look forward to.
You know, you talk about going to that next level. And one of the things I remember you mentioned to us when you were on with us a couple of months ago was a lack of confidence comes from a lack of preparation. That type of mindset, like excuses and stuff, like you guys were never a part of excuses. When it comes to dealing with players individually, not to say you're going to go in there and tell them how to behave, but you know, how important is that going to be? The fact that you guys can, like Jim mentioned, you guys can talk to Pettersson, you can talk to Hoglander, you can talk to some of the other young guys and kind of be mentors in that way and kind of create that accountability by talking about the things that you viewed as being prepared. And yeah, people think they work really hard sometimes, but do they really realize what it takes to be great?
No, and that's, like you said, we talked about that a couple of months ago, and that was always part of our culture too when we were here. We knew if we came into training camp not fully prepared, like what are the other guys gonna talk about when they walk away from that training camp? You're gonna be like, those guys are our highest paid players and they're coming in like this. That's unacceptable. Why should we buy into the team system if they come in and they're not prepared? So we had Kevin Bechstad, Ryan Kessler, Yannick Hansen, Alex Heller. They came in and they wanted to beat us every training camp, and we made sure Kevin was third every training camp. So that's that was our biggest goal. But it's a little thing maybe, but in the end that it's a big thing. It ends up being a big thing, and that comes back to your training habits, your the way you play the game, the way you're around when you're in the dressing room. How do you come in every day? Like, do you come in sour because you lost the game, or do you come in upbeat and you want to be better? And that's it is small things, but it's to create the culture, it's a big thing.
You're listening to the People Show. We're joined by newly appointed special advisor to the Canucks GM Jim Benning, Henrik Sedin. Henrik, you talked about, you know, learning different facets of the business, but early on here, you know, what kind of voice will you have at the table? Do you have the autonomy to make recommendations right off the bat?
Like I said, I think you need a lot of different voices. You need a lot of different inputs. In the end, these decisions that are being made are of course being made by the guy from the guys that are there to make the decisions. But we're going to say what we think and. But like I said, in the end, we're not in a position to make any decisions. So that's, but it's going to be fun to be around, sit in meetings, sit with pro scouts and talk about players, amateur scouts, about the young guys, and just learn that part of the business.
Henrik Sedin, our guest, you sound pretty energized. Like you sound fired up for this role and excited to be back here.
No, we are super excited. I mean, that's why we're stepping in, and I just feel that there's a lot of things that I think we can help, and from being around the players, and it's going to be fun to talk to the coaches about like little things about what we see and just learn and come in every day and be in meetings and talk about players. I mean, this is something we're excited about this team, and we want to come back and help. So it's, of course, you're you feel a little bit, and especially with the way things have been going here too, you want to try to come back and help.
Well, and what a nice day for this to happen. On the day Sweden wins the group in the Euro, you are announced as a special advisor alongside Daniel. So, I mean, how great is that? I mean, you guys get announced today, and Sweden finds a way to beat Poland and wins the group. Number one.
Oh, they won Poland. They beat them.
They did.
Oh, yes.
Claussen scored. It was an incredible goal in added time. Like, I was screaming and yelling. I had to mute my microphone for a minute.
That's amazing.
Thanks so much for this, Henrik. Congrats. And it's time to get to work, but also enjoy Sweden the rest of the way.
All we will, for sure. Thank you, guys.
There is a happy Henrik Sedin, especially after hearing Sweden took back the lead in one Group D.
That was a wonderful moment, man. And, oh, you know, peeling back the curtain a little bit, even before we started recording the pre-tape, we had a pretty funny chat about, you know, how fired up he was about Sweden.
Well, even I'm going to go back and watch that press conference. I want to see if him and Daniel are actually paying attention to the press conference or they're looking off camera. They're at the actual match that was going on. I think we have to investigate further, guys.
You just know they're like, man, I wish there was more questions for Jim so we could focus on the match here.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
Great conversation with him, though. And the first thing, and we talked about this, guys, a little bit earlier amongst ourselves, Henrik Sedin is fired up. Like, we've had the pleasure of interviewing him multiple times. I know, Sat, you've done it. Dan and I have done it on Reach Deep back in the day plenty as well. Henrik Sedin, in that conversation, is the most fired up I've ever heard him in an interview.
Mm-hmm. And the people took notice as well. Wow, you can just tell from his voice. He's excited, just upbeat and positive. Only positive can come from having them involved. Not saying they won't make mistakes, but probably won't make the same mistakes twice. Another one, just hearing this interview gives me hope that the ship is going in a better direction with Henrik and Daniel Sedin on board. Very intelligent people. Also, on the other side, as we tried to be balanced and fair.
You got to bring the good and the bad.
Didn't the Oilers bring back a slew of high-profile ex-players to provide their two cents? Worked great. This is utter nonsense.
The nepotism thing is a legitimate concern, right? If you put people in positions that aren't ready for it and you take their word for gospel, that's a recipe for disaster. But former players get into positions of executives and learn all the, you know, in many different ways. These guys are coming in to learn the job and figure it out. To me, that's a lot different than coming in and acting like you know everything and starting building a team. Like, I get that. And if these guys didn't have the acumen, then, you know, I would be really willing to have that conversation. But they're not just being handed the jobs. They did that with Linden. They're not doing that with the Sedins.
And I think you have to look at it from a balanced perspective. You need a little bit of everything in an organization, right? It's easy to look at Edmonton, and I've been critical of the Edmonton Oilers going back, you know, 5-6 years. And the Canucks, that is especially with the Trevor Linden hire and what happened there, all of that was, you know, an obvious worry because you're saying, okay, you're going back to the great teams of the past and trying to maybe hearken some of the good mojo that you had there as a fan if you're an owner. But there is a bit of a balance, though. The Florida Panthers, if you look at their front office, they've got a lot of former players. But that is not maybe seen the same way because it's the Florida Panthers. You have to have a balance of really talented hockey people that have played the game at a high level and may be able to offer something at the executive level mixed in with others. So from other markets as well. And this is where I think the Canucks, this move is not bad for that reason because they're former players. No, mm-hmm. If they're smart people and they're progressive and they can change maybe the way that things are done in that front office, diversity of thought, we've mentioned a few times, changing the culture. There's a lot of positive here, potentially. There could be plenty that goes right here. So I think based on the Sedins and who they are, I think this is a good situation. And that's why I wouldn't attach it to the Edmonton Oilers aspect just yet. Now, if no results happen and you add a few more names and you go through a laundry list of players from 2011 and it becomes that, yeah, that might be a bit of a eyebrow raiser, but two intelligent people being hired, that to me is not a bad thing.
Well, you could tell Henrik isn't the happiest about the narrative of this just being a PR move either, ASAT?
Oh, no. I mean, you saw him kind of bristle at that notion. And, you know, this is not how these guys are built. Like, yeah, I mean, they care about what they do and they want to do a good job, but they're not afraid. You kind of have to have that defiance in you if you were going to be taking on a role in the Canadian market this way, right? I mean, it's a love-in right now. You saw how much criticism Lindon got. And that's not to say Lindon was great or bad or whatever, but there was a lot of heat on Trevor. And at times, you could see he had the bristle attitude. And I know it wasn't easy for him to hear these things and being so critical and stuff like that. Like, it's not an easy thing to come into. So when you're kind of putting yourself into the fire the way he is, right, and the way Daniel and Henrik both are, you are going to bristle at the notion that this is just PR. They're here to have fun, or, you know, they're just being handed roles. They're like, no, we're coming here to work. We're here to put the work in. We're here to grind, and we are going to do what we can do to be good at this if this ultimately is something we love doing. So when people start talking about they're this or they're that or just a PR stunt or whatever, people that have the confidence these guys have and are as competitive as these guys have, as competitive as these guys are, that defiance is going to drive them, and they are going to bristle at that type of notion.
And that's not unlike their playing days, right? Their rookie year, their first couple years in the league, they had to figure out how things worked, and eventually they mastered it. And it feels like they're going to do the exact same thing with this, where they're saying, okay, what works for us? What are we good at? Where are we needed? And what do we want to do going forward? And if do you want to do this going forward? And it feels like the early Sedin playing career might mirror what we, you know, potentially might see at the executive level. But when you've done something at a very high level, when you've dedicated your life to the game of hockey, and you don't have to do this, that's a very key part here. Yeah. Remember, the Sedins don't have to do this. This is a decision that they make. And Sat, your question about legacy was a valid one, because they can do no wrong in this city. So this was a, hey, if we're going to do this, it sounds like we want to do it right, and we want to make sure that we do it well. And that's why it's the PR move notion to me, it doesn't apply here, because if you look at the character of these guys, they don't just do things for doing things. They want to be the best at what they do. Their track record shows that. So the PR move aspect to me, I don't get it. I don't think that fits here. These guys, if they commit to something, they want to be the best at it. And I don't think that, you know, it also includes the executive level as well. So that PR move notion, I'm not buying it. I know you guys talked about it extensively yesterday. I don't see it.
Well, they're not, just in hearing them talk today, they're not here to have minimal roles. Like, yeah, they're learning right now, but, you know, they're eventually going to want to be a part of the big decisions and have their voices heard and their opinions heard and all of that. And, you know, I have every confidence, because I don't think they agree to this if they don't feel confident that these roles are right for them. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of my big takeaways here today. You know, I think there's some that feel like the way things ended with Lindon and the differing of opinions, and that's why he eventually stepped away and all the things that happened out of that, and the narrative of, you know, if you have a different opinion from Jim and John, that you're eventually going to just be moved on from the organization. If Henrik and Daniel Sedin are not taking these positions if they don't think they are going to be a part of the decision-making process down the road in some form as they progress through these roles that they've been given.
Do Daniel and Henrik seem like or individuals that are okay being figureheads?
No.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And that's why I think there's going to be a moment where down the road, Sat, you've mentioned it as well, that they feature prominently in those plans. But this is something about absorbing information and the figurehead aspect. There's roles in hockey for that. We see it in other organizations. A lot of American teams have those roles. It seems like this is a deeper play. It seems like having that symmetry at the NHL level and the AHL level is going to be something that the Sedins will be playing a pretty prominent role in, and that's important. Setting organizational culture is sometimes what separates the good teams from the bad ones, because as we've seen in the last couple of years, when culture goes awry or it's not perfect or it's not in a good place, there's a trickle-down effect. And you're hoping the Sedins can change that, but also tangibly lead to something maybe bigger and better down the road if they want to do that.
you got to start building a program, right? I mean, that's what has to happen. There has to be an identity to what the organization is on and off the ice, right? That's what has to get kind of fostered here. And right now, this is a collection of very talented young players and some talented veterans with a complicated cap situation. We're not quite sure what they are yet. They haven't built that on and off the ice yet. So this is kind of the step up. Okay, let's build that program up. And it does start with a culture off the ice as well, and the type of dedication and seriousness and dedication you need to be a great hockey player, right? And Sedin's kind of embodied that. Now, Steven and Delta poses this question or brings this up on a text inbox, Dunbar Lumber 650-650, but they're going to learn from the worst GM in the business or no other GM that had a team this long be this bad as Mike Milbury. So who are they going to be learning from? And hopefully it'll only be 1 year and all this sort of stuff. But Steven and Delta's question essentially is, what is positive about learning from Jim Benning and what he perceives to be a bad management team? We can sit here and be critical of Jim, and I think that's fair. A lot of things to be critical of. There is a baseline, and there is a baseline of how business gets conducted around the National Hockey League, right? So just from a process standpoint and how things kind of work and all the things you got to do, the checklist-wise, that you go through contracts, you go through the league, you go through scouting, how their department works, there's a lot of standard things you're going to learn, and it doesn't matter who's in charge. And there are things that Jim can probably teach them that are positive. Can there be a lot of bad things? Yeah, I'm sure there are some bad things there that they're going to look at and say, we're probably not going to do that. You can also learn a lot from people that you may not agree with, that you don't quite think are that good at their jobs, because you see people in those roles and you can look at it and say, okay, well, how about we do this? I don't think just working with somebody, even if you think Jim's bad at his job, you don't like him or whatever, I don't think that means the Sedins are destined to failure. And I do think that process standpoint that people talk about, you know, Jim and how this front office runs, I don't quite think from the process these guys have with guys like Chris Gear and Jonathan Wall, there's a lot of things you can learn from those guys and how they put this kind of ship together here. So, yeah, there are things they got to learn not to do, but there are a lot of positive things from that front office they can learn from.
And I'll add another name to that as well, and it seems like he's going to be pretty prominent in Abbotsford because Jim Benning did mention that during the presser, but Ryan Johnson's another guy that being, you know, in charge of the GM and director of player development and having all those touch points with players at the AHL and the NHL level, this is a guy that I'm sure working with him as well, just seeing how it works on the ground level and how it translates from the AHL level up to the NHL level is going to be something that's important for them as well. So, you know, there are a couple of layers to this, Sat. You're right. It's not only Jim Benning. It takes an organization to run this as well. So, you know, the contract side of things, they've been there as clients with an agent. Now you got to look at the other side. I think the fact that they'll be working, by the sounds of it, pretty close to RJ in Abbotsford, that's going to be important as well, because you're getting those touch points with the players. And maybe they're not going to be skills coaches per se, but how are players developing? You know, what are some, you know, pitfalls that young players have? How can potentially these two guys make that work and go up to the NHL level? And is there symmetry within the organization? That's going to be key. There's this organization. Yes, Jim Benning is the person that runs it from a hockey operations aspect, but there are other people in the organization as well that they'll be able to learn from.
It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda coming up. Not saying, just saying. And for today's Not Saying, Just Saying, you have a chance to win a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three friends. We will give that away to the best submission for Not Saying, Just Saying today here on The People's Show. More on Henrik and Daniel Sedin and more of your texts and calls on today's topic. Does Henrik and Daniel Sedin joining the Canucks front office give you more hope for the future? Does it raise your confidence in the Canucks moving forward? That's next. It's The People's Show, Sportsnet 650. The People's Show is presented by Grip Auto and Tire, quality service you could trust, and 14 locations to serve you. The Dunbar Lumber text line is how you get in touch with us here on the show, and that's how you participate in Not Saying, Just Saying, the segment we do at every day at 4:40, and the best submission will win a Vancouver discount golf card today for you and three of your best golf buddies. So be getting in on the Dunbar Lumber text line early and often with your submissions for Not Saying, Just Saying. Best one comes away with a prize. And as We could tell the Dunbar Lumber text line has been busy all day, Sat. And, you know, look, there's a lot of thoughts about the Sedeans. And, you know, we talked to Henrik about the whole PR aspect of it. You know that this is it's a big deal for the franchise, but also, like, yeah, you don't normally get this kind of an introduction for people coming into an organization with the title of special advisors to the GM. This is about grooming Henrik and Daniel for the potential of bigger roles down the line, but it's going to be up to them what those roles are.
That's going to be the thing, right? Like, what are they going to love? I mean, they're not coming in here to be coaches, right, and work on the ice. And, you know, they made it clear that they're not here to lace up the skates and get on the ice and do anything here. Like, that's not what they're here for. But what do they truly want to do, right? Like, do they want to be GMs? Do they want to be scouts, for instance? Do they work in player development? Like, what is it that really interests them? I mean, that's something that they're going to find out. Based on how they are and how they're coming into this, I think in the back of, you know, the mind, there's probably this thought of, okay, we'll run an organization one day, whether it's here or elsewhere. That's kind of the idea. They've always been interested in, hey, the operation side of things, how to run a hockey franchise. But they understand that you don't just come in and thumb your nose at things. And one of the things that I have heard here is that it takes a lot of humility for guys like Daniel and Henrik, and especially on Daniel, who will be working closely with the AHL team, that a guy of his stature is like, yeah, I'm willing to come in here and do a lot of work at the most basic entry-level with the AHL team and start off with development. Like, that takes humility to do that. A lot of guys will come in and say, you know, I'm too good for that. I just want to be an AGM right away. Like, I want to sit in the office and just kind of figure things out as we go. These guys kind of want to learn on their own, but also learn every facet of how an organization runs. And is that not the right mindset you want for people that come into roles?
I think across the board, though, even successful people outside of hockey, guys, like, acknowledging what you don't know is a very, very important look in the mirror kind of scenario when you're trying to be successful at something. Where are the gaps? And being great players is one thing, but working on those skills, working on those, you know, dealing with players that are your peers are one thing, but dealing within an organization, even from a communication skills point of view, it's different. Learning, you know, the game from a different aspect and how you're going to teach it. Because we have the example of Wayne Gretzky earlier, where, okay, the greatest player to ever play the game, but coaching for that high level of an athlete is not easy.
Yeah.
Because some things come so naturally to you. And I know the Sedins aren't looking at a coaching role specifically, but even, you know, just being in a different position, and, you know, a game that comes so naturally to you, but when you're in that position of potential mentorship or a leadership role, you have to make sure that you're able to communicate and relate to that person that you're dealing with, whether that's a player or another peer in management. So acknowledging what you know and what you don't know is a very important process here. So who knows where it's going to lead? Because it could lead to maybe the player saying, oh, maybe this is for us, maybe it isn't in terms of Daniel and Henrik. But, you know, that's, I hope, is sometime down the road and not sooner rather than later, because you want to give them a fair chance to figure out what they enjoy, what they don't. And that way you can maybe map out what you want to do in the future.
Our poll question today on the People Show: does adding the Sedins give you more confidence in the Canucks going forward? 68% saying yes, and 31% saying no on that front. And I do wonder what the naysayers are really questioning here. And I guess, you know, 30% seems like a bit of a high number, but that, I think, speaks to more of how much damage has been done over these last 5+ years, Sat, where the Canucks have had a really hard time.
It has been, right? I mean, it's been, you're looking at a lot of pain that's happened here, right? And if you're trying to, I mean, there are a couple of things that this organization is trying to kind of rehabilitate here, right? One is you kind of sell yourself to the fan base and create some excitement to sell the future. And somebody texted in unsigned before and said, you know, it's pretty remarkable that this organization is still able to sell the future after 50 years of futility and not winning a Stanley Cup, which is kind of the cynical view of things, right? And listen, when you've had a lot of failures and losses over the years and 50 years of existence, there will be a large section of the fan base that is going to be cynical about things and view things through that cynical lens. But a lot of people want to believe. They want to have something to look forward to, right? So you got to give them something. But also, if you're trying to build out this team and build around these young players, you got to start putting things in place that make this organization look and feel like a team that's on the right track, a team that is truly on the ascension, that you have faith and belief that they're going to get the right moves done to kind of elevate this organization. And that's really what has to get proven here. And will that be able to happen in 1 year or not? We're going to find out here. But that is the starting point here. Can you get the core group of these players wanting to be here and believing this is the place to be?
It's one step in the right direction, whether it's short-term or long-term, but the Canucks over the years, and, you know, I know there's a very vocal group of fans that don't like Jim Benning, and you have to kind of overcome that, right? Whether it's with Jim Benning or without him at some point, whether it's the next year or two. But, yeah, the fact that there's been so much noise in this market for the last 2 years, 3 years, it's not going to be an easy fix. So the Sedins joining this should give you more confidence that, A, the organization is willing to spend money, that they're willing to bring more voices. There is, you know, apparently differences of opinion, different opinions is something that is welcome now within the organization. But I can totally understand people saying, yeah, okay, that's a nice step, but I want my team to win. I want my team to be, you know, competitive. I want this to be a destination. So I can understand the no voters. Like, I myself am voting yes on that, but I can understand the no voters because, to your point, Zach, there's been a lot of pain in this market, especially the last year where they go to the playoffs, they make noise, and then all of a sudden, you fall back again.
Yeah, and fall back pretty hard. So next year, we'll do a lot to try and rebuild that, and want to get into some of the other stuff that happened today, and even Jim Benning speaking about potential for moves ahead of the expansion draft, which is now less than a month away. July 21st is when the Seattle Kraken will take on some players from around the National Hockey League. But it's time for Not Saying, Just Saying here on the People's Show. Comes every day at 4:40. Keep your texts coming in. And again, the best submission will get a Vancouver discount golf card for you and three friends coming up with Not Saying, Just Saying today. So keep getting your submissions in. The best one will earn that prize today. Randeep, you want to start us off today?
I'll get it going today. I'm not saying hockey broadcasters are taking the easy way out. I'm just saying, say his full name. It's Kotkaniemi. It's not KK. The guy has a name. Yes, I'm calling out people that work with us at Sportsnet as well. Say the man's name. It's Kotkaniemi.
Fired up, hey, man. Randeep. No, Randeep took a day off and got even more mad. I thought you'd be like a bit relaxed after taking a day off on a Tuesday.
I was in a good mood yesterday, and then I saw Dan today, and I'm fired up again.
It's not even like a good short nickname either.
No, it's a terrible one. It's just you're being
it's
lazy.
It's not his initials. It's just like, oh, he's got two K's in his name. We'll say KK. It'd be like calling me ZZ.
You know what it is?
Oh, I like that.
You know what it is?
Stop it.
What's
stop
up, ZZ?
ZZ.
What up, Z?
You know what it is, though? It's the two letters they have most trouble with. It's Kotkaniemi. It's like, oh, let's chop it down and just call him KK.
Yeah. We got Zizou, and now we got ZZ with Vic.
ZZ, ZZ.
Yeah, we both take the hair same hairstyle, too. But yeah, when we're all back in studio, Reach, I'm going to, like, headbutt you. There you go.
Yeah.
Only because you're the Italian guy.
That's yeah, why. Don't say anything about a big sibling. Yeah. Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I
think of the worst thing, Reach. Like, we'll be back in office in like 3 months. Think of the worst thing you could say to me and say it then. We'll see what happens.
Like, this whole time, everybody thought I was the pronunciation police. Here comes in Randeep off the top rope.
No, man.
By God! That's a flying elbow!
It's not pronunciation. You just say things wrong. These people are being lazy. The man has a name, right? How about if I called you, like, just Reach all the time? Or DR, because I had a tough time with Reach.
Yeah.
No, you say the man's name.
Say his name. It's almost like Marlo Stanfield saying, say my name.
His name is his name.
It's time for Dr. Dan. Can Dr. Dan fix the Canucks? DR, let's go. Maybe it's a new segment on the show.
No, it's not.
Live radio.
No, it's not.
What's up in Radio Land?
All right, not saying. Can we all do one show where we talk in our most radio voice possible? No, let's
no,
not
please
do that.
Don't. Yeah. Like, okay. No.
I'm not saying people don't want to hear that. I'm just saying I'm leaving the show if you do that.
All right, not saying, just saying. Let's go to the Dunbar Lumber text line. Sat, what do you see?
All right, JD and Coquitlam, I'm not saying the Sedins are competitive against each other. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if one of them became the GM of the Canucks and the other one the GM of a different team.
That would be like
a spicy.
That would be the ultimate like wrestling heel turn by the leaving Sedin, wouldn't it?
Just imagine.
It would be.
Imagine one of them going to Seattle. Close to home.
Yeah.
Just across the border. That would ratchet up the rivalry just a little bit.
Ooh,
Calgary Canucks.
That.
You know, Brad for a Living can't be around for that long.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we've never seen twins be GMs of two separate teams. Have two brothers even been GMs of two separate teams? We've seen coaches. I don't even know if brothers have been GMs of two separate teams.
I don't think a Swedish person has ever been a GM of a team.
No?
Nope. So there's a Finn, though.
There is a Finn in Jarmo Kekalainen. Why don't people call him KK? Anyways, sorry.
Because they call him Jarmo. It's easier. All right, we got...
Say Kokaniemi in Italian, Reach.
Oh, please
Kokaniemi.
Oh, my. Tim from the island saying, not saying Daniel and Henrik are the answer to all the problems, just saying this is the absolute best singular move in the franchise could have made. There are things that still need to be done, but building culture is the most important. Tim is very optimistic with this move.
Garms and Langley, not saying I'm cheating the system to win the golf cart. I'm just saying this is the best, not saying, just saying entry according to the people show. no, Garms, that's not going to win you a golf cart. You got to be better than that. Sorry.
Up your game. You got to up your game. Krez from Coquitlam, I'm not saying Dubravka knew what he was doing. I'm just saying he saw Morata coming in from behind and thought, this is less embarrassing.
Man, Spain figured out their goal issues. Just make Slovakia score all of the own goals.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Beautiful spike, though. He was playing volleyball. That would have been in. That would have caught the line. Oh, we got an unsigned text. Please sign your text so that way we can give you a prize if you win.
I don't know if you guys know this about me. I wasn't great at volleyball.
Yeah, I'm not going to even say it. Just not going to say it. I'm going to be nice today.
You're saying you, I thought you had big – those calves didn't give you enough lift?
Yeah, I could jump high, but I still, like, you know, I had a long way to go to catch up with everybody else, you know?
Okay, when things are, like, properly open again, I think we got to have a people show volleyball tournament at the beach. Maybe Kids Beach. Dan, please, you have to play.
Okay.
Not saying, just saying. I'm not saying some people don't understand hockey. I'm just saying those who don't like the Sedin hire also probably thought they were bad players. Okay.
It's fair. Mm. I want to go to this one. Neil the Boss, do you have the clip, Raja? All right. Not saying, just saying. I'm not saying Daniel and Henrik are chubs. I'm just saying we're all happy Gilmore, realizing we and this team need help by saying,
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're... very good looking. I'm not attractive.
Money.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is well played. Well played, Neil the Boss. Is Neil the Boss the clubhouse leader now?
He is.
His was so good, he actually got production value.
Neil the Boss is John Rahm. He is. He's the clubhouse leader right now.
Okay, we got Stewie from Richmond coming in with this one, though.
Okay.
Not saying the Canucks could be in the Stanley Cup Finals this year. Just saying that if they didn't get COVID, kept up the winning streak, and beat Montreal out of the final playoff spot, maybe they could.
That's
so three things had to go perfectly.
Don't know about that, but yes. I mean, hey, man, living your dreams. I ain't going to tell you not to dream. Jake in Abbotsford, not saying I don't trust Daniel and Henrik, just saying the trust I have in them will be tainted by the trust I have in Jim, which is about the same as the confidence I have in the three sheets of extra thin one ply left in the 97% full porta potty the day after, well, you know, a bunch of certain, you know, tacos and Coronas.
I think, yeah, we don't need to elaborate on that one.
I think we will get it.
Yeah, I think that one is not overtaking the clubhouse lead with that one.
No,
potty humor does not usually win a prize.
I'm not saying Modric has bossed the midfield for a long time. I'm just saying he's Croatia's youngest and oldest goal scorer at the Euros.
It's a very facts only kind of approach.
Yep.
Okay, we got another one here saying. Not saying, just saying, but I see one of the Sedins being the GM of the Canucks and the other, the head GM of Abbotsford. That's from Mac in North Van. So he's saying rather than split and going to a different NHL team, one leads the NHL team, the other one leads the AHL team.
So basically, one's an NHL guy, one's an AHL guy. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be a good sell.
No.
Which one of those guys is going to be like, yeah, I'm good with the AHL. Come on.
I'm good. Did we do Dane and wealth management yet?
No.
Not saying, just saying. It's 2026. New general manager of the Vancouver Canucks, Henrik Sedin, taking over on the new general manager of the Seattle Kraken, Daniel Sedin, in what has become the most epic rivalry in the Pacific Northwest sports history. That's Dane and wealth management.
That's good.
Is wealth management a town I haven't heard of here in BC?
In wealth management, no.
No, it's no, like...
That's what he wore.
You know, we get a text from a plumber. We get a text from the former bath guy and the current whatever. You know, like
Keith the water guy.
Keith the water guy. Nice to have the wealth management committee or section here as well.
The insinuation here is that I can buy my own town. Okay. I work in wealth management. It's my town. Clay on Twitter at Canucks Clay. I'm not saying that I'm not interested in the Euros. I'm just saying I just found out this morning that Japan isn't in it.
Clay did not major in geography, did he?
It is the European championships.
Although the Copa America had like Japan and Korea in it once, so you never know.
That's true.
Sometimes
That's
they throw true. A curveball at you in these soccer tournaments.
All right. We are giving the Vancouver discount golf card to Neil the Boss for this submission. I'm not saying Daniel and Henrik Sedin are chubs. I'm just saying we're all happy. We're all happy, Gilmore, realizing we and this team need help by saying,
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
All right. As long as you're willing to admit that.
My favorite text, though, guys, was that somebody asking if that was a conversation between Dan and Bick.
Yeah, Bick often pours his hard art like that too, every once in a while.
Dane and wealth management. It's better than saying in Surrey. That's what Dane and wealth management says.
All right, Neil, you are our winner today. You and three of your besties are going to get hooked up with Vancouver discount golf cards, courtesy of the People's Show. That's totally Dan talking to Bick. No, it's not. Stop it. Since when did Bick's crew start texting into the People's Show? Anyway,
it was pretty ferocious today. I think all of Jamie's family is now has migrated to endorsing me.
I see a face swap coming on Twitter in 3, 2, 1. It's coming out there.
This is gonna be face off with John Travolta and Nick Cage.
I'm going to take your face off. It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. Coming up, more on the Canucks as we get ready for Tampa and the New York Islanders in Game 6 as well. Can the Isles stave off elimination? I had to get one stave mention in before puck drop. It is the People's Show on Sportsnet 650.